Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next asked Ramananda Rai, among many songs, which song is to be considered the actual religion of the living entity? Ramananda Rai replied, that song describing the loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna is superior to all other songs. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.33.36, Anugrahaya Bhaktanam Manusam Deham Astitam Bhajate Tadrishid Krida Yahad Shutva Tatparo Bhavat. Lord Krishna descends apparently as a human being, and he exhibits his transcendental pastimes in Vrindavan so that the conditioned soul may be attracted to hearing his transcendental activities. Non-devotees are strictly prohibited from participating in songs celebrating the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. Unless one is a devotee, it is very dangerous to hear the songs about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna that were written by Jayadev Goswami, Chandidas, and other exalted devotees. Lord Shiva drank an ocean of poison, but one should not imitate this. One must first become a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. Only then can one enjoy hearing the songs of Jayadev and relish transcendental bliss. If one simply imitates the activities of Lord Shiva and drinks poison, one will certainly meet with death. The talks between Lord Sri Krishna Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy are meant for advanced devotees only. Those who are on the mundane platform and who study these talks in order to put forward some thesis for a PhD will not be able to understand them. Instead, these conversations will have a poisonous effect. Om Ajnana Timinandasya Ajnana Jina Salakaya Chaksurun Militanjena Tasmay Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Buddha Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dati Svapantika Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Sri Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Kavitam Sri E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpati Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radhakanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwar Vishapanu Siddhadevi Pranamami Aripri Vancha Kalpataru Vistak Basundu Bhavacha Paditanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namah Ananta Koti Vaishnavanda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai Shri Shri Gonitai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, now, seems like a very controversial subject matter. Only pure devotees and very advanced devotees should be listening or, being in class, basically. How are we going to talk about this subject matter? Who's a pure devotee here? Who's a topmost devotee? Who's advanced? Who can say? Some of us are coming here for the first... Who's coming for the first time? Oh, you're coming for the first time. You're very, very fortunate, I have to say. We have some very elevated subject matter here. But Krishna is very merciful. Lord Chaitanya is very merciful. So today we're going to go back to the basics. Because without understanding our everyday life in Krishna consciousness, it's very, very difficult, super difficult for the discussions we're going to have today on the flute song, Krishna's flute song. So in the beginning, I was just thinking, like, in the spiritual world, it's explained that every word is a song and every step is a dance. So our life is actually revolved around the singing from the morning till the night. Our whole life is revolved around the song. Even poetry or words, prose, words of songs, when put tune and melody to it, it becomes a song. So every word is actually a song. And when I was looking at the Krishna book, Songs of the Gopis, and I was reading, and it was saying, this gopi said, that gopi said, you know, different gopis are saying different things. And I was wondering, the title is Songs of the Gopis, and they're speaking, how is this a song, you know? It like kind of where you question yourself. But as I was saying, like every word is a song. From the morning we come to the temple, we're singing from the morning till the night. We're singing our lives away, basically. So let's see. This is our book we hold on to, a song book. So this verse here is about songs. So the first thing we do, like in the most auspicious time in the morning, Mangalati, we come in and we offer our obeisances. And when you look at all the songs that we sing from the morning till night, I don't think any song there doesn't touch on feet, lotus feet. Every song from the Mangalati prayers to the prayers to Srila Prabhupada, that the lotus feet of our spiritual master, to all the other songs to the night, it talks about the lotus feet. So the first thing when we come walk in the morning, 4:30 we come in, we offer our obeisances. And we don't only offer our obeisances to the Supreme Lord and Srila Prabhupada, but we offer our obeisances to all the devotees, everyone. Because Lord Chaitanya says, Amanina Manadena Kitanya Sadhari. Not that. Chunadapi, what's that verse where he says one should respect everyone as oneself? Is that the verse I was thinking about? Yeah. So, whether one is a devotee or not a devotee, because Krishna is presented as the super soul within everyone's heart, we see everyone as a devotee and we offer respects. So when we cut, I know in the early days, if we came like 20 past or 25 past four, we'd be chanting the reception. Any devotee that came in the morning, we would offer our respects, we would bow down. This is 15, maybe 20 years ago. But things have been changing along the line. We're losing the old school of, you know, the way we used to do things. And it doesn't matter how many devotees came, that many times we would offer obeisances. To touch your head to the ground conjures up humility. It makes one very humble and very grave and very, you know, peaceful inside, that you're making yourself lower than the person that you're meeting, you know, and that keeps you humble. So I just wanted to mention that. So after offering our obeisances, the curtain opened, then we sing our first prayer. What prayer is that? Sorry? Guru Vastakam, yes, Samsara Dava. Now we sing these prayers. How many of us know the actual meaning of the prayers? The melody, the tune, the music, the drums, the kartas, they all might sound melodious. But until you know the actual meaning of the song, you won't be able to relish the actual song, because the words actually from the song penetrates into the heart. Because you're putting it into the right context. You're reading the lines of the meaning of the words, and through the melody, you're offering this obeisances or this respect to the spiritual master. So how many of us know all the meanings of the song in Guru Vastakam? Govinda, you must know it, right? Anyone that knows all the meanings? When they're praying in honor of the spiritual master, they're singing Samsara Dava, you know. That first verse is very important. Very, very important, because you're praying to the spiritual master to extinguish the blazing fire of material existence. You're praying, you're begging him. Just like a rain cloud, you know, a burst of rain cloud, extinguish a forest fire. Just like that, you're pleading with the spiritual master to extinguish this fire of material existence. And at the end of each verse, what does it say? Sri Charanara Vrindam. I offer my obeisances unto such a spiritual master. Because the spiritual master is so kind, so merciful, he gives us this energy or, you know, feeling of wanting to be, you know, in his service. So we sing these songs, and when we know the meaning, it makes us even happier, you know, to connect. So I'd just like imploring everyone, when you come to when you're singing any of the songs, if you try to learn the meanings of the songs, it's very, very good. Because Narottam Das Thakur sings, all these songs are sung for Radha and Krishna in separation, right? Beautiful, beautiful songs. And Prabhupada mentions Jayadev Chandidas, and there's another person called Vidyagati, and they were born like 100 years before the time of Lord Chaitanya. And it's amazing that when I was reading their like biography, these three were born around the same area, and they were like very intimately connected with the conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna, very close. So, and Lord Chaitanya, he used to save this special intimate pastimes and songs between Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodara. Swarup Damodara would sing all these songs, mostly from Jayadev's Govinda Leela, from there. He would sing, and Lord Chaitanya would go in ecstasy just listening to the songs, and Swarup Damodara would sing. And because Ramananda Roy could perfectly answer Lord Chaitanya's questions, so he has this intimate relationship with Ramananda Roy to disclose these questions, and to his full satisfaction, Ramananda Roy answers. So then we come to our next singing. After Samsara Dava, we sing the Tulsi Aarti. Tulsi Aarti is very, very intimate song, actually. Very, very intimate song. Everyone knows the meaning of the Tulsi Aarti song? Beautiful melody, beautiful tune. But who knows all the words? Who knows Yani Kani Chapapani Brahma Achyutit Kani Cha? What's the meaning of that song? The mercy of Tulsi Devi. We go three times around Tulsi Devi. We're singing and dancing around Tulsi Devi. But what is she saying? Haribol, thank you, Taruna. You're sitting in the corner there. We can still see you. Actually, even when you kill a Brahmin, killing a Brahmin, if you go three times, she can forgive you. So it's an amazing song. O Tulsi, beloved of Krishna, I bow before you again and again. We're asking her to make us the residents of Vraj, you know. What can be more intimate for that? I beg you to make me the follower of the damsels of Vraj. Please give me the privilege of devotional service and make me your eternal maidservant. So these words are very, very powerful. They go into the heart if you actually know them. But if you're just singing, it becomes very mechanical if you just sing a song. I like the music. I like the tune. I like the way he played the mridanga today, or the way she played the kartals. It doesn't mean, it doesn't work towards the heart. So we really need to relish the songs that we sing every morning. And then we chant our japa. And then when the curtains open, we hear the most beautiful songs from the Brahma Samhita. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So, Govinda, tell us. Govindam, give us the translation of that first. Govindam Adi Purusham.
Govinda,
It's beautiful, beautiful song. Angani, then you're talking about these threefolded, you know, form. You're getting very intimate. You're talking about, you know, the millions of queens that are worshiping him. So beautiful. We need to know the meaning. And Govinda prays, a beautiful song of Krishna. Then after that, we go to Guru Puja. Actually, now we're singing Damodara prayers. It's the month of Kartik. And this is the most amazing song. It comes from the Vishnu Purana, isn't it? The Damodara Astakam. It's Padma Purana. Padma Purana. Yeah, thank you. Beautiful song, the meanings of the song, you can enter it. You can actually enter into the pastimes of Krishna, you know, with each stanza, the way it's written, so beautiful. Who's written on? I know it was spoken by Satyavrat. Yes, Satyavrat. So beautiful. We listen to the, and thank God when we sing the song, we read the translation and we get to hear the translation. But we don't do it to, you know, Gaur Aarti or Guru Puja. We do the translation, the lotus feet of our spiritual master. So, yeah, we got to learn and get to know the meanings of these songs, very importantly. So, after Guru Puja, actually in other temples in India, they sing during midday Aarti, they sing the Boga Aarti song, offering, you know, foodstuff to the deities. So then, and then in the evening, we have Gaur Aarti, that song down there. It's a beautiful song. Kiba Jayog, Jayogora Chandre, like glorifying Lord Chaitanya, being like the moon. So those are the songs we sing every day. And these songs we've been singing for the last like 50 years since we've been here. And it doesn't get... You don't get tired of it. Oh, I've sang this song yesterday, or sang it last week, or sang it last month, last year, whatever. We sing it, oh, it's not like a pop song in the mundane material world. They bring out a new song. They put a beautiful, so-called beautiful melody to it, nice music. It gets on the top of the charts like maybe 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 10 weeks, or a year, whatever the case may be. Eventually it has to come down and another new song. So there's no excitement. It has its end to it. But on a spiritual note, the songs on a spiritual level, it can go on and on and on. And we know for a fact, we've done it 50 years and it's still going on. We know it's going to go on, as Prabhupada said, for the next 10,000 years. We would be singing the same because he's established, Srila Prabhupada has established a program for us, and we're following that day to day. So let's see, we just want to kind of fill in what we're doing on a daily basis, then we can go to the other stuff. So then we chant, well, of course, we're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra all day, right? No matter what tune we have to it, what melodies we have, the Hare Krishna mantra is the most beautiful mantra we've got from Srila Prabhupada, which actually is all everything that we do, our services, our worship, anything that we do within Krishna consciousness is an expansion of that Hare Krishna Ma mantra. I was reading the other day in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya, that this chanting of the Hare Krishna Ma mantra, it covers the nine process of devotional service. And I was like, what? That's amazing. And it also I don't know how to say it, not higher, but with deity worship, it covers the aspect of worshipping the deities, this Ma mantra. It actually fulfills the need of wanting to do deity worship. And it's funny, I had to give my service due to health reasons. I had to give my service up on the altar for one evening. At night, it's difficult. And after doing this for, I'm just sharing this, not, I hope it's not pride, but after doing the service over a very, very long period of time, somehow I had to like brave myself to step down. And I thought, there's younger devotees with more able bodies that can do the service. Why not give them a chance to, you know, start the service? It was painful, very, very painful, but I thought, no, I have to do this. And Prabhupada says, health comes first, you know, you have to consider that. So then, but Krishna was very kind. I noticed, like, any difficult thing you do in your life or any choices you make, somehow Krishna, sometimes we made things, this is a coincidence, or by accident or whatever. But when I was reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is where I came across this. The nine processes of devotion, you know, the Maha Mantra covers the nine processes of devotional service. And one of them is Archana. Archana is offering worship. And then about worshipping the deities, this Maha Mantra covers that even, worshipping the deities. So I felt relieved. I said, Krishna is speaking here, you know, directly. So I felt good. Yeah. And I was listening to Ayendra Prabhu, and he said that the Maha Mantra is a song as well, and it's got so many different tunes to it. And he was singing a tune. I can't remember what tune it was. But he said, this tune is sung between 10 a.m. and midnight. He was singing a tune. Beautiful tune. So the tunes we sing in the Maha Mantra, it's so beautiful. You can sit there like 24 hours just listening, you know, to the Maha Mantra. It's so beautiful. And there is meanings to that Maha Mantra as well. You can look it up in your spare time. So what else is there we can talk about? So we have the Nisshingadev prayer. Nisshingadev prayer is for protection, isn't it? Who uses Nisshingadev prayer for protection in their lives, thinking of Nisshingadev? You do. Yeah, I do all the time. Who knows all the meanings of the song? Nisshingadev prayer. Anyone? Yeah. Hey, do you want to say something? Say, what's Tanu Bringam? What does that mean? Keshav. Oh, can you say it? Oh, that would be lovely. Say it, Rangani. Haribo! Thank you, Rangini. That was beautiful. Now we know all the meaning of this song, and we can chant it and relish it and ask Nisshingadev to please protect us. There's a story about that, isn't it, where Srila Prabhupada asked us to sing that song when the deities were meant to be attacked or something, and Prabhupada you know, established the singing of this song. Time is going, so yeah, and all the other prayers that we sing in the song, we have to relish all these prayers, become pure devotees, as it's saying here in this verse, that one must first become a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. Only then one can enjoy hearing the songs of Jayadev and relish transcendental bliss. If one simply imitates the activities of Lord Shiva and drinks poison, one will certainly meet with death. So let's go on to the flute song of Krishna. So as it's explained, like Ramananda Roy is saying to Lord Chaitanya, what is he saying? Let's read it from the book. He says, that song describing the loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna is superior to all songs. So we talk about the 10th canto. It's talking here about 10:33-36 in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the 10th canto. All those pages are basically about songs of the flute, the rasa dance, Krishna meeting with the gopis, very esoteric subject matter, very intimate pastimes, Krishna with the gopis. So this one time when it was a beautiful autumn night, and Krishna, when he sees anything beautiful, anything alluring, like lotus flowers or jasmines, he wants to enjoy them. He wants to appreciate them. So the first thing he thinks of, how can I enjoy? How can I enjoy? And who can I enjoy with? And when he thinks like this, then Yogamaya intervenes. She intervenes straight away, and she wants to increase his pleasure, basically. And then when she increases his pleasure, then she feels satisfied and peaceful and happy. So Krishna, he was looking at this full moon, and he thought, what a beautiful full moon. What a waste of a night, autumn night. Everything is so beautiful. Lotus flowers, jasmine, fragrance is so beautiful. The breeze is just right. No, I'm going to play my flute. So he plays his flute song, which is, it entices the all three worlds, whether it's the demigods, the gopis, living entities, animals, you know, everything. He entices by this flute. So he was playing his flute. He knew exactly what he wants. Krishna knows exactly what he wants by playing this flute. And there in that same chapter, description of a woman is given. So this is Prabhupada explains there in that same purport that Krishna, he couldn't wait to establish the association with the gopis, the relationship with the gopis. Just before we entered his youth, he was overly eager to establish his relationship with this, because he knows this is the highest enjoyment in the material world, this relationship between a young boy and young girl. And he thought if he enacts this pastimes, at least the people that in the material world, if they become devotees, and out of sincerity they see these pastimes, they will be curbed of their lust, their anger, their greed, and relish the pastime, in this way become purified and become devotees themselves. So his eagerness to want to do this, he was playing on this flute, the flute song, and then the description is given of women. Women are so attractive. This is in the story. The sweet sound of a voice, a beauty, a gentleness, a fragrance, a cleverness, tenderness, and skill in music and dance. These were the gopis, the young gopis of Vrindavan. They were so beautiful, the girls, that Krishna had the right to enjoy them, because they actually is internal potency. So they expanded from his internal potency. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, and Krishna was only 8 at the time he performed the rasa dance. The Lord could hardly wait to exhibit his loving affairs. So Krishna plays on his flute. And then the gopis, all the gopis with their husbands, their children, their relatives, they heard this. It pierced right into their heart, almost like their hearts were stolen from them. they heard the song, and it was unknown to the others, you know. Each one thought they were listening to that flute song on their own. So they were leaving home. And this is the activities they were performing before they left home. My husband gave a class. It was similar to this, but I didn't copy him. Don't worry. It was funny. It's the Srimad Bhagavatam classes is similar to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's both the Rasa Dance. And he was reading something. I'm reading the same thing. I said, why did you give a class and I read the same? He said, I read it away from you anyway. And then the activities of the gopis, some of them were milking the cows. And they just left milking the cows. Some left curdling milk on the stove. Others left cakes burning. Housewives could know this. If you're inviting guests and you have cakes in the oven, burning cakes, you forget to turn. What a catastrophe. You burnt your cakes and your guests, what they're going to eat. So they left burning cakes in the oven. And so it's not like in 5,000 years ago they didn't have cookers or they didn't have ovens. These were ovens. They put the cakes in the oven. So some got dressed and some were getting dressed and feeding their babies, and they just let go of their babies and they went. How immoral is this? This is how the materialists and the pseudo-philosophers see Krishna as immoral person to, you know, call the gopis with his flute song away from their dharma, you know, serving their husbands and family. So some were performing services to their husbands, they left. Taking evening meals or washing themselves, they left that. Putting on cosmetics, they were putting on cosmetics, but the kajal was going in different direction all over the place. And looking in the mirror, but the kajal was there, you know, at its own ways. And the clothes were in disarray, but they rushed off. And each one thinking, me, I'm going to see Krishna on my own, you know. And their husbands, their fathers, they left everyone. So because Krishna had already stolen their heart. So Srila Prabhupada says in a purport in 10:29, he says, persons who constantly direct their lust, anger, fear, and protective affection, feeling of impersonal oneness or friendship towards Lord Hari, are sure to become absorbed in thoughts of Hari. So if you relish these pastimes and you're sincerely thinking of Krishna, even though you may have lust, anger, greed, fear, all these things in due course of time become absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna Hari. So Krishna's first meeting with the gopis, all the gopis left home, right? They left home and they presented themselves to Krishna. And then he stopped his flute song and he asked them a question. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? You're not following your dharma. You left your husbands, you left your children, and you're here in the dead of the night. You know, it's very dangerous to be in the forest in the dead of the night. There's animals, there's wild animals. And of all things, you family people. You came away from your family. So he is just almost chastising them for, you know, coming to the forest. So Pramanava, you gave class the other day and you were talking about how the gopis actually don't realize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan. But in these stories, yeah, when Krishna spoke to the gopis, they were wondering, what is he on? What is he talking about? They were completely shocked. He brought them here with his song and he's questioning them why they are here. So they were philosophizing with him about the reasons why they are there. And they were quite surprised that he was behaving in such a manner. So they knew, they had the understanding that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this story. So I was thinking, Yogamaya can play tricks, right? She can bring you in and out of from Krishna's internal potency to Mahamaya. So it's explained that when the wives were with their husbands, they were influenced by Mahamaya. When they left through the flute song, they were influenced by Yogamaya. So it's not like the husbands can enjoy the gopis after Krishna. They transform themselves by the influence of Mahamaya, but when they were with Krishna, they were on the perfect spiritual platform influenced by Yogamaya. That's in that story. So we can, it's very, you know, sometimes we do say that. Like when Mother Yashoda opened her mouth and Krishna saw the old universe, and she thought, oh my God, my son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna didn't want her to know that he was the Supreme. So then she was covered again by mystic potency, that yet she forgot that he's the Supreme Lord. So he becomes his son again. So Krishna, he says, you've stolen our hearts. The gopis say, you've stolen our hearts, and now you want us to go back home to our family. So Vishwanath Chakravarti envisions the gopis dealing with Krishna, you know, how intimate and how they relish each other's company. Srila Prabhupada says that according to Jiva Goswami, Krishna's song has many, many more wonderful melodies and meters, and the gopis accompanied him. Srila Prabhupada says Krishna's singing is described also in the Vishnu Purana. So the gopis threw their arms around Krishna forcefully, and then Cupid, arousing Cupid in them, enjoyed the beautiful association. Krishna enjoyed the gopis' association. So in this way, the rasa dance takes place, and then they become a little proud. The gopis become a little proud within themselves. And then what happens? Krishna disappeared. Krishna disappeared, and Radharani, you know, without anyone knowing, she leaves the party as well. Krishna and Radharani are together now. They are having pastime. At that particular time, while they're enjoying, Radharani thinks, oh my God, I'm the only one with Krishna. And he favored me from the other. As soon as she thought like that, he disappeared. So this pride, that's transcendental pride and transcendental envy that the gopis enjoy with Krishna. But this is just reflecting on us. In English language, it says, before pride comes a fall. So we should be very, very careful about envy, about pride. Whatever we do, we should be doing out of humility and, you know, not pride. So Prabhupada explains here in the purport that in the next page, how we shouldn't be imitating as well. Like Lord Shiva, he drank an ocean of poison, and he's got like a beautiful blue mark on his neck, enhances his beauty. But if an ordinary person drank that, it'll cause them death. So just like that, if an ordinary person that got lust, anger, greed, and doesn't accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord, and sees the pastime, this intimate, seeing it as mundane exchanges between the Radha and Krishna, then it's like them drinking this poison that Lord Shiva said, it only could cause death. And Prabhupada mentions Aristotle, the historian, the philosopher. He says that God who performs mundane activities compared to the material world cannot be God. Prabhupada mentions his name. So if God is God, he can do anything. He can perform anything. There's no, we cannot put him in a box. Sometimes we talk to different, you know, religious members when we do sankirtan, we do book distribution, and we try to explain to them, God cannot be put in a little box. He cannot be a Christian God. He cannot be a Muslim God. He cannot be a Jewish God. God is God. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. From him, everything emanates. He's the creator. He's the annihilator. He's the maintainer. That verse in, you said it, Prayojana, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarva. I am the source of the spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. So everything comes from Krishna at different times. And we hog him in our different mentality and different ways, seeing him as ours, as the gopis did. Everyone thinks God is mine, you know, or God is yours. God is for everyone. He's situated in everyone's heart as the supersoul. Even in the animals, he doesn't differentiate every living entity. He's so merciful. He accompanies every living entity to the material world. Because every living entity has a cycle, evolutionary cycle, from amphibians to insects, plant life, I don't know the sequence, but plant life, animal life, beast, and eventually we come to this human form of life. We all were devotees in some stage. We were devotees in some stage of our life, coming down to that evolutionary process. So Krishna is kind. Whether we in the form of animals, whether we form of human beings, beasts, whatever, he accompanies us as Paramatma, as Supersoul. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya said, we should give respect. Amanina manadina kitanya said, we should give respect to everyone, treat everyone with respect. In that way, you know, we will be humble, our humility will be kept intact. So we can stop there. It's 5 to 9. Anyone has any questions or any comments about this subject matter? Yes.
I asked one day.
Bring the speaker. Rangini, I should have given you the speaker. It would have been loud and clear. I'm sorry.
I asked Mother Kalangana, who was here in the past, and she very advanced, Prabhupada disciple. And I asked her the question that I like religious music, all sorts, you know, even Handel's Messiah, you know, all these things, because I find them still inspiring. And she said, should I listen, can I listen to both? And then she said to me, actually, you should understand one thing. She didn't say yes or no. She said, you should understand one thing, that Srila Prabhupada has brought us a certain sound vibration. And that was the answer.
Thank you. Yeah, we have to follow the orders of the spiritual master. Thank you, Prayojana. Anyone else?
Oh, hello. Sorry, Hari Bol. I like to learn them by the word by word when I'm actually learning a song, and it helps. But then it just reminded me, I need to learn all the other songs that I've already been singing, like you've been saying, and just go back over them again. And I just recently went back over, Prabhupada's pranams. Just, you know, you say it so many times and generally know what it means, but get really into where's the words and again. And so it's been good. So exactly what you were saying, it's so important to learn these songs. It's a great reminder. So I'm thinking, yeah, I'll do it now. I'm sure a lot of devotees are thinking. But I just wanted to know, where was the, you were talking about, you were reading about the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and how it all the nine parts of
the process.
Where was that?
In Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's Madhyam 8.
Madhyam
8. Madhyam 8, Lila. Yeah, 8. And
that's the chapter. Yeah. Oh, the whole chapter is about
Madhyam Lila. Yeah, it's you get different chapter. If you go if Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyam 8, you will find it.
It's in there.
Look in the index. 300?
I was going to say we're on 250 right now, aren't we?
Yeah.
I'll find it, no problem. I'll just flick it open. Okay, thank you.
Right.
Yeah, I wanted to add on what my dad just said.
Your dad? Wow, yeah. That's nice. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, I also really like to go over translations of verses, especially word for word. Last year, I remember, throughout the whole month of Kartik, I went over each verse of Dakshigamadarashtakam word for word, and I've forgotten.
Beautiful, yeah.
Every verse I can say off memory, and I also like to look at different songs by the Acharyas. I like singing different bhajans, finding new songs, and I think if every time you sing a song, you should be the translation. Every time you should.
Thank you.
Yeah,
beautiful.
I think that's a good idea. So I also like to read translations when I read a song. So it's just should remember that. Otherwise, you lose the meaning. Simply because it's in a different language. If you're not well versed in Bengali or Sanskrit, you can. It's always good to read the translations.
Yeah. The meanings of songs actually take you to the place as well, and then you relish the pastimes, isn't it? If you don't know the meanings of the song, it's hard to enter into the pastimes. Shiva Maharaj once said, if you've been in a movement for 15 years and you can't enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, what are you doing? What are you doing, Aranya? We're not serious enough, actually, If we take life seriously and, as you're saying, listen, read the meanings, we can enter, actually. We can enter as we're reading about Krishna's pastimes in the book. And it's put into a song anyway. And if you know the meanings of the song, then you relish it more. Like when Jayadev, Chandidas, Vidyagati, Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinod Thakur, all their songs are in words, in poems and all that. When we sing it into a melody, we should know the meanings of the songs. And then it goes to the heart, penetrates to the heart, and we relish it a little more. Okay, Coco? Should I call you Coco?
Thank you so much. I'm very glad to have a lady today being the speaker.
Oh.
I'm very thrilled.
We have ladies here, actually.
Okay. I wondered, is the tune of the songs, is there a significance to the actual tunes?
Actually, there is a significance. As I said, there is morning melodies, there's evening melodies, there's midday melodies. As I said, Ayendra, this devotee, he used to do the kirtans in Vrindavan years ago. He passed on. But I was just looking on his website, in the YouTube, he explained how there's so many different tunes. And I picked up that he was singing a particular tune of the Maha Mantra between 10 and midnight. So there are different tunes to sing. Sometimes people sing, the morning melody in the evening or the evening melody in the morning. I don't know, is that okay or not? I'm not sure. But, yeah, there are melodies. Right, soothing, resting time. Not rip-roaring kirtan, right? Ayendra, he used to do the 24-hour kirtan in Vrindavan. Beautiful Hare Krishna mantras. Yeah.
I'll make this as quick as possible.
To cut you off.
No, don't worry. One thing is, when I was reading the meaning of the Dhammadarashtakam,
mm-hmm.
I suddenly realized, wow, this is what I'm singing. And then the second thought was that to mean this, to actually mean this, you have to be on a whole nother platform than when I was reading it, you know? I just wonder, like, how do you access that? And also another one is, I don't quite understand how would you get poisoned by this pastime that you would hear of Lord Krishna?
What do you mean, poison? Like the poison that Lord Shiva drank?
As an analogy, but when you hear the pastime of Radha and Krishna, to get poisoned, are they getting poisoned by their own thoughts? Or
that's right, they get poisoned by their own thoughts, because if you're not a devotee and you're relishing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna for your own sense gratification, you're thinking, oh, I'm going to spend this time with my girlfriend or my husband or, you know, somebody. I'm going to enact the same pastime. Sometime in the old days, before I became a devotee, used to watch these Bollywood movies. It was horrible to think of it now. But the songs there were Radha and Krishna's songs, and they would imitate the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and that's very dangerous because it can pull you further away from your spiritual life and entangle you deeper into the mode of ignorance, into the material world. It's very difficult because everything in the material world should be dovetails for Krishna's pleasure. Music, food, song, dance, everything should be dovetailed. Prabhupada say that the modern disco dancing in the material world is like monkeys dancing, you know. Yeah. So, but everything comes from that main dance, from that rasa dance. It expands from that dance. All the other dancing takes place. Even the flute song, there's hundreds and thousands of songs that the gopis sang. And Prabhupada said all these songs have actually integrated into this material world in bits and pieces all over. So sometimes we relish ordinary songs, you know, that people sing, how they become so famous, you know, mundane singers, artists. Their songs are relished because they have subtle connection with the original source. Rantaraj Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Itai Gopremananda.